Time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're studying the book of Genesis, and we're in the 35th chapter, Genesis chapter 35. We're going to begin reading with verse 19, actually with verse 18. And so Genesis 35, 18, we'll read to the end of the chapter. So please that you take your Bibles, open them up, that you can follow along and read with us and study God's precious Word. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. Glad that you've joined us. I hope that that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Genesis chapter 35, we're going to begin reading with verse 18, Genesis 35, 18. And it came to pass, as her soul is departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. And Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in the land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. And Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were 12. The sons of Leah, were Reuben, Jacob's firstborn, and Simeon, and Levi, and Judah, and Issachar, and Zebulun. The sons of Rachel was Joseph and Benjamin. The sons of Bilhah, Rachel's handmaiden, were Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaiden, were Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padan Aram. Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. And the days of Isaac were 180 years, and Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. We're probably going to get further today, but let's just end there and begin with prayer, and now we can read a little further in a few minutes. Oh, Father, I thank you and praise you that we can come together. I ask that you will take your word and you will penetrate it to our hearts. I ask, as we do study your word, that we study it knowing it's the truth. And please don't let us take it apart bit by bit, that we will take away from your truth. As we do study it, it's not that I can give my understanding to it. As we study it, it's to learn of you, Lord. It's to learn your truths. Teach us your way. That's what we need. And Father, please, as we look through these verses of Scripture, finished in chapter 35 and then getting on into chapter 36, I ask that you will just direct us, lead us, touch our hearts with it, show the folks that are lost, that do not know you as their Savior, please show them, Lord, the way to salvation. And then I ask, Father, for those that are saved, that are born again, that do have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, that they will continue to grow closer to you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we, kind of a strange place maybe there to begin, we actually got up through verse 20, ended through verse 20, but the I wanted to take just a few minutes, because when we look at Deborah or up here in the beginning, depending on how that you want to pronounce that, Deborah is another way. And as you look at those words and you see those, why a lot of times there is a meaning to them. And of course we know that this is Rebekah's nurse died, and she was buried beneath Bethel, and they named it, if you'll remember, the weeping oak is what that means. And so as we look at Deborah, why you have that that name means bee, is what it means, B-E-E. And then when we come all the way down further into the scripture here, and we get down to chapter verse 18 and 19 in chapter 35, while we come to the time that it's a sad time. It's Rachel's death. And if you were listening when we were reading the word here, you'll find that there's one more death to take place, and that's Isaac. And so we have a lot of death in this chapter. And so death is certain in our life. But, you know, there is the end of our life is death, and that is certain. You don't know anybody that has not faced death, and you will face death yourself. Now, please, that you be prepared for death. Be ready for it. And the only way you can be ready for death is to come by faith to Jesus Christ and know Him as your personal Savior. Not just know about Him. You need to invite Him into your heart. And that can only come when the Holy Spirit convicts your heart, touches your heart, and you turn unto Him. Please that you do that today. Again, we've got death here three times. And now we look at Rachel's just a minute, and it was the birth of her son. Now, Rachel named her son Benoni. And Jacob or Israel changed it to Benjamin. And the first is the son of my sorrow. Now, Benjamin means the son of my right hand. And I believe that that's the way that Israel, Jacob, looked at this son that Rachel gave her life for. You know, his life meant her death. And so as we look at this birth of Benjamin, we will find that he is very important unto Israel all through the time. And we'll see that as they travel down into a land called Egypt and some things that are going on there, you'll find that that this is a very important son to him. And so as we look at this this son here, and again, Benjamin is the son of my right hand, and that right hand means my walking stick. It's what stabilizes me, what I depend on, what I need to walk, to live. And that's the way that Israel, that Jacob, looked at the son Benjamin, and again at the death of Rachel. And so we find that Jacob, in verse 20, set a pillar upon her grave that is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Israel journeyed and spread his tent beyond the tower of Edar. And it came to pass, when Israel dwelt in that land, that Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine, and Israel heard it. Now the sons of Jacob were, and there were 12 of them. I'm going to name them here. The sons of Leah were Reuben and Jacob's firstborn, and then Simeon and Levi and Judah and Issachar and Zebulun. And then the sons of Rachel was Joseph and Benjamin, just the two. The sons of Bilhah were Rachel's handmaiden, was Dan and Naphtali. The sons of Zilpah, Leah's handmaiden, was Gad and Asher. These are the sons of Jacob, which were born to him in Padan Aram. Now, as we look at the those 12 sons that were born, we know that that is the beginning of the tribe of Israel, the 12 tribes. The sad thing is that we're going to find that many of these sons were not a blessing to Jacob. They were a trouble, and it's very sad as we look at the life here and what's going to happen here in the future, in the very near future here as we continue the study. And I want you to remember that this Benjamin is kind of becomes Isaac's favorite, and I'm sorry, Jacob's favorite, Israel's favorite. And when we look at the list here, and then it takes time at the very beginning, says Reuben went and lay with Bilhah, his father's concubine. That shows you the condition of the heart. And so Reuben is the firstborn of Leah. Now, if you'll remember back, Laban gave Israel, Jacob loved Rachel. He loved Rachel. That was his great love. And yet Laban fooled him, tricked him, gave him Leah. And then he ended up with two more handmaidens before the thing was finished with. And, you know, 7 years later he gets Rachel finally. Then you remember the years that he served in under Laban before he got to come back home. But the whole point is that he loved Rachel. That's who he loved. And now Rachel's dead. And we find that Jacob came, as we look at verse 27, unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre. Now, we are going to find out here at the end that Esau and Jacob go together and bury Isaac as he has died. And we, the information that we have as we look at this, why we can find that there's not a lot of listings, not a lot of times that we find that Esau and Jacob are together. And I don't think probably from the time they met when he first come to the land back home, and then now at the death of Isaac, they come together once again. But I don't think that that was, I don't believe they visited much back together, back and forth together. Jacob came unto Isaac his father, unto Mamre, unto the city of Arba, which is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac sojourned. The days of Isaac were 180 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people, being old and full of days. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. And so we find the end of the life of Isaac. We haven't heard much from Isaac, have we? We've been busy with Israel, with Jacob, as he traveled over to get his bride. And that was about the end of Isaac. And now we find that Isaac, as all men, die. And so has Isaac. But he has quite a statement here, being old and full of days. That's a good statement, old and full of days. And I hope that that I live. Who knows how many days I'm going to live, how many years I'm going to live. But I hope that the Lord gives me the to where I'm old and full of days. And I hope that those days will be a blessing unto the Lord and not a curse unto him for something that I have done. I proclaim his word. I teach his word. I stay with the truth verse by verse. So many today have left God's word. They have preached a social gospel, and it's just no different than a social club when you come in. You don't have to dress up. They even want you to dress down. Come as you are. And as I've said before, when you come as you are, you're gonna go as you were. And I read that here not long ago, and I think that's exactly right. So you think about that when you don't give a minute to what you're going to your wearing your best and going into the house of the Lord. You just you have no reference for the Lord at all, do you? You just don't care, and that's very, very sad. And we have Isaac being buried. Again, Esau and Jacob take care of that responsibility. And now we come to the generations of Esau. Now, we have spent all this time about Jacob, about Israel. Well, now here's his brother Esau. Now, we find that now the generations in verse 36, now these are the generations of Esau. Who is Edom? Now, as we look at Edom, if you'll think about it, it would be coming down off the land of Canaan. You'll find it off to the east and the south. The east and the south is where you'll find the land of Edom. And if you'll look at a map, you'll surely see it. It's quite a large land and country there. And so as we look at this, this is the place where he went to, and we're going to find out why here in just a little bit. It's because Jacob and Esau had too many cattle, and much like something Abraham and Lot happened to them at an earlier time. Now, these are the generations of Esau. Who is Edom? Esau took his wives, the daughters of Canaan, Ada, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Aholibamah, the daughter of Ana, the daughter of Zibeon the Hivite, and Beshemoth, Ishmael's daughter, sister of Nebajoth. Now, as we look at just those names to begin with, you'll realize that we have two Canaanite women, the Hittites, and then we have one of Ishmael. And as we look at Ishmael here, where did he come from? Remember Abraham and Hagar? Abraham didn't wait upon the Lord, and Sarah gave Abraham her handmaiden, and her name was Hagar, and Abraham went into Hagar and had Ishmael. And so as we look at Ishmael, why we have the beginning of the Arab nation here as we look. And so as with Abraham, why that whole land, we have not only the Arab nation, we have the nation of Israel, and we have much connected with the Egyptians, because we have Keturah. And see, Abraham first married Sarah, then he went into Hagar, and then when Sarah died, then he remarried and married this Keturah, and then that makes the connection between the all the Arabs, the Israelites, and the Egyptians. They're all tied together there, and especially the Arabs and the Israelites. They're all the same father, and the Arabs claim that that's their land over in the Promised Land, land of Canaan. They declare that that's their land. Well, we can kind of understand a little bit why they think it's their land, is because their father is Abraham. But the promise didn't come through Hagar and Ishmael. The promise went through Isaac on to Jacob and then on to the 12 sons that we've just listed here. And so now we have this man named Esau. Now we have Jacob and Esau. Now, do you remember much about Esau? It's been quite a while since we've talked about Esau. Esau was a man of the flesh, if you'll remember right. Jacob was kind of a small-featured man, fair-skinned, and he was kind of a mama's boy, if you'll remember, when we were back at that time with Isaac and Rebecca. And so we have this mama's boy, and then we got daddy's boy here. Well, Esau was dad's. Jacob loved Esau. He favored Esau because he loved this man of the world. I believe he was very handsome. I believe he was strong. He was an outdoors fella. He was quite an athlete, probably. And he had all the appearances that would stop the heart of most girls. They like that strong and worldly man, and that's what Esau was. Esau was quite a prideful man. Esau lived for the flesh. He had no desire for God whatsoever. And when we look at a couple of verses of Scripture here, we can go to Obadiah, where it tells us something about this this land of Edom and this man named Esau. And if you would like to go back to Obadiah with me, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, that kind of gives you some idea where it's at. It's in the very end of the Old Testament. Obadiah is in chapter 1. It tells us in verse 3, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee, thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, Who shall bring me down to the ground? Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord." That's the land of Edom. Book of Obadiah is about that. You'll find that to be about 1,000 years later from where we're at right now in the book of Genesis. So it took 1,000 years to have hundreds, thousands of Edomites, descendants from Esau, to become very proud and very mighty. And they lived in a place called Petra. and they didn't think other lands even brought their wealth there, thinking that it would be protected, because no one, and that very verse there is very clear, the pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. And Esau was a man that was very prideful. And we have same thing today. We have, you know, people that act and look and everything like their God here upon earth. And nothing's going to stop me. I don't need God. I don't need, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to repent of my sin and turn to a Savior. What do I need a Savior for? And that's the condition of most of the world today. And that's the condition of most of the churches today. Pride has allowed them or gotten them to leave the Word of God and to walk in a direction of the world. They do not want the truth. They don't study the truth. They don't care for the truth. And so that's what we have today. Now, as we look at this, we need to set our eyes and our heart upon studying God's Word and studying the truth. Don't be as Esau. Let's follow after Israel. Follow after Jacob, because he is the man of God. And that's the line that the Lord Jesus has followed and comes from, and God has followed. And as we begin and we look down through that line and go down through Judah, and you'll come all the way down to the place where the Lord Jesus is born. And so please, as we look at Esau, understand that even God, knowing the future, said in Malachi 1:1-3, I have loved you, speaking of Jacob, I hated Esau. Now that wasn't the desire of God's heart, that was the result, because it was so prideful. And if you know, God loves us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, down here to this earth to live and to die and to be buried and then to rise again. And we need to come by faith in him. He is our Savior. He has completed the work. You know, there had to be a perfect sacrifice that could take our sin away. All the pictures through the Old Testament, there had to be a perfect sacrifice to do that. And no man could ever fulfill that, because I'm not perfect. Nobody has been perfect except Jesus Christ. So he, being perfect, could fulfill the law and then pay the price. Death is the cost of sin. So he paid the price, and then all we need to do is come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Esau refused to do that. Many a man refuses to do that today. And that means there is hatred between God and man. That hatred is not because God has set his face against them. That hatred is because of pride and their refusal to come to the Lord Jesus. And when we refuse to come to the Lord Jesus, there's sin there. God can't stand sin. He can't look upon that sin. And so you see, that sin is the barrier, and God hates that. He doesn't hate the sinner, but he hates the sin. And if you refuse to come by faith and have your sin. See, I'm a saved sinner. I'm a born-again sinner. I'm a washed by the blood of the Lamb sinner. And that's the difference, because my sin's been taken away. Your sin needs to be taken away. Don't be an Esau. Don't follow after Esau. And Esau was very wealthy, very strong, very powerful. There's a time that that the land of Edom, though, is destroyed, because God looked upon the pride of Edom, when they stood against the nation of Israel, their own brother they stood against. And so please, that you look to the Lord Jesus Christ today, and you see that the truth is in Jesus Christ. The truth is in his word here. Don't be an Esau. Follow after the line of Jacob, Israel, all the way down till you find Jesus. You need to find Jesus today. We look at these names, and there is if you've glanced ahead, you'll realize that there's a lot of names here. God has chosen to list them here, so we will read them. And so I did want you to see that Ishmael, which was through Hagar, that is a people. the Ishmaelites. And so one that Esau married was from there. The other two was from Canaan. So Esau sure isn't getting any more godly, is he? Jacob went back to stay in the same line to get Rachel. He ended up with Leah and two handmaidens, but he went back there seeking after Rachel, and he did get Rachel and bring her back. Now we find Esau here. He's got two Hittites, a Hittite, a Hivite, and a Ishmaelite. That's who he ended up with as far as his bride's concerned. And now verse 4, and Ada bare to Esau Eliphaz, and Bashemath bare Reuel, and Aholibamah bare Jeush, and Jaalam, and Korah. These are the sons of Esau, which were born unto him in the land of Canaan. You'll notice as we're reading through here, some of these names will kind of ring a bell just a little bit. Now here in the 6th verse, Esau took his wives, and his sons, and his daughters, and all the persons of his house, and his cattle, and all his beasts, and all his substance, which he had got in the land of Canaan, and went into the country from the face of his brother Jacob. For their riches were more than that they might dwell together, and the land wherein they were strangers could not bear them because of their cattle. Thus dwelt Esau in Mount Seir. Esau is Edom. These are generations of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in Mount Seir. And we begin. Now, first, I want to just stop there for a second and let you see, again, something I mentioned a little bit earlier concerning Abraham and Lot. Remember when Abraham and Lot, they had too many cattle and their herdsmen beginning to fight, and the people on the outside were watching them fight? You know, it's not good when you see those fighting. And Lot, we know, even though he didn't live a godly life, we know that he was a believer because he was taken out of Sodom later on. And so, but what happened was Abraham and Lot, Abraham come over to Lot and says, Lot, you look to the east, and if you want to go east, I'll go west. You look to the north, and you like it, I'll go south. I'll go the opposite direction. You choose, and I'll go. Now, remember what Lot did. Lot took his eyes, and he looked towards Sodom. And he pitched his tent towards Sodom. And it wasn't long he was living in Sodom. And so, as we look at our families, we look at the world and look at the young people, as so many today are choosing the way of the world. I hope today, if you're a young person and you're listening, that you choose the way of God. Be as Abraham. Abraham didn't care about this world. He gave Lot the direction. Now, Lot should have looked unto Abraham and says, Abraham, you're my elder. You choose, and I will go the opposite. Instead of that, Lot immediately looked up and looked at what was fancy and looked at what was nice and looked at what was rich, and he went that direction. We do the same thing today with our profession. When you decide as a young person what you're going to do for a living, what sets most people, not all of them by any means, but a lot of them, what sets what they're going to do, and what your mom or your dad or your counselor or whoever you're talking to about your what you're going to do for a living, What makes your mind as far as what you're looking at? In most cases, it's money. You look at money. That's no different than what Lot did. Now here we have a similar situation because we have Esau and Jacob. Their numbers are getting too large again, and they have to separate. And so they didn't have a big fight and leave, but Esau says, okay. And so Esau goes to the south and to the east and to the land of Edom, which is Esau, one of the same. And so we find that that he moves down there by force according to the wealth that these two have both gained. And so their riches were more than might dwell together. The lands wherein they were strangers and their cattle, they couldn't bear the land, and so couldn't bear what they possessed and had. So they've divided here. Now, we're going to begin with the ninth verse as we come together next time, and we'll begin to go through, and please don't miss that. To come and help me read through those names, if you would, please. I'm going to ask you, as I always do, what are you going to do about Jesus?